Today, our passage comes from the prophet Jeremiah. We're going to read Jeremiah chapter 1, verses 1 through 4, or actually 4 through 10 this morning. Chapter 1, verses 4 through 10 from the book of Jeremiah. You are invited to follow along, just hearing the words of Scripture being read, or if you have a phone or a Bible with you, we invite you to turn. So Jeremiah chapter 1, verses 4 through 10. I'm going to read out of the NRSV translation. Now the word of the Lord came to me, saying, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And before you were born, I consecrated you. I appointed you a prophet to the nations." Then I said, "Oh, Lord God, truly I do not know how to speak, for I'm only a boy." But the Lord said to me, "Do not say, 'I am only a boy,' for you shall go to all to whom I send you, and you shall speak whatever I command you. Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you to deliver you, says the Lord." Then the Lord put his hand and touched my mouth, and the Lord said to me, "Now I have put my words in your mouth. See, today I appoint you over nations and over kingdoms to pluck up and to pull down, to destroy and to overthrow, to build and to plant." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. If you'd pray with me. Good and gracious God, we thank you for this testimony of baptism, the reading of God's word, and a reminder that your ancient words still speak. So Lord, speak. Speak through the reading of Scripture, through the sharing of your word. Lord, I pray that these words would be yours, that you would, like you did Jeremiah and to us, that you would touch our mouths, you'd give us the words to say as we are encouraged and challenged and reminded that you are a God that lives and breathes and cares. So Lord, we pray all this in your name. Amen. Amen. Chaotic, lawless, tragic, confounding, disorienting, hopeless, fearful, hectic. Just some of the words you might use to describe this week. A week of name-calling and yelling and many, many accusations. Our neighbors being called unfair and untrue things, especially our siblings that are immigrants. The people that actually make up the majority of folks that come through these doors here at 1340 K Street every week. There has been a litany of demeaning other people while arguing over terms and conditions, but really just not a lot of listening, not a lot of pausing, not a lot of trying to understand or hear people out or really just get a grip on the week. We forget that so many are caught in the middle of situations that they have no control over. And perhaps this week was just one of those weeks. You had one of those weeks in the endless news cycle, the historical event of the day. Note, I think that we've been living in unprecedented times every 24 hours, right? Or the experience of the false spring, being so excited for the warm weather, only for it to be dreary a day later and now a little chill in the air. We are being asked to start a new week, to begin anew. Perhaps you've heard loved ones called names or assumptions made about you and your living situation, and it's left you feeling raw, exhausted, maybe a little on edge with people, scared that you'll be misunderstood, scared that you'll be ignored. Maybe it's been one of those weeks at school, at work, in your social life, maybe even in your family, contributing to this whirlwind of emotions. Maybe it's had the other effect, though, right? Because we know that the human experience is vast. Maybe changes have left you thrilled, made you feel like you've won, or at least that's what the news you consume wants you to think. It's invited you to voice hurtful things about neighbors because name-calling and making assumptions is an attempt really to make ourselves feel better. When really, all we want deep down, collectively as human beings, is to feel seen, to feel heard, to feel cared for, and to feel loved and thought of, right? That's why we always say that we want flowers when we don't expect them. Right? You never want to ask to be gifted flowers, you just want them to show up because they remind you that you've been seen and heard, and most importantly, you've been thought of. Someone's gone through their week thinking of you, even when it's been a really hard week, or a really exhausting week, or a week where you felt like on top of the world. We are living in a time where many prophets are unwilling to speak the truth about what God says, especially to people in charge or positions of authority. One did recently and received death threats. But the church, we, the body of faith, are in need of prophets. Prophets being people that are willing to speak about God's love and stand up for justice. Scholars call Jeremiah the everyman's prophet. Right? He's like the lumberjack prophet. He's like the typical John Doe prophet. The Old Testament is a testimony of the book of Jeremiah to really his ordinariness. Jeremiah is every man's prophet because he expresses fear and anxiety. He's resistant. He has some inadequacy. He's even resentful at times. Jeremiah lives the whole range of emotions, highlighted in this book attributed to him, but believed to be written and recorded by his scribe, Baruch, as mentioned in chapter 36. Jeremiah is called. He said, "I am called to speak the truth to the southern kingdom of Judah." At that time, Judah was experiencing some concern because, you see, their northern neighbors had just been attacked. Samaria falls to the Assyrian Empire. Now there's a new threat on the horizon, the Babylonian Empire. This book makes up a collection of 40 years of Jeremiah's ministry, teaching, preaching, writing, and proclamation. Jeremiah is asked to tell the people of Israel, of Jerusalem, that they have turned from their covenant relationship with God and that they are acting unjustly. God asked Jeremiah to speak on God's behalf and to tell people that they were headed not for hope but for destruction, that they needed to turn back, that they needed to come back to the truth that God cared deeply about them, despite the chaos going around in the world. And so God says to Jeremiah, speak up, speak out to be a prophet, not just to the people, but to nations. To be a prophet is to be called by your name. Our reading says that the word came to Jeremiah calling him, and God says, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were even born, I consecrated you. The Hebrew word here used for form is that same word used in Genesis 2:7. It's the verb used, term later used for the word potter, as we know in Jeremiah 18 when he goes to the potter's house and God says, look, I am reforming you into something new. I'm working you as clay. You guys are stuffed, stubborn people, but I'm trying. I am forming you. God is intimately involved in calling Jeremiah, like he was at creation, creating humanity out of dirt and mud. God says he knows Jeremiah. He knows that he has the plans for him, which is another famously quoted, usually during graduation, line from Jeremiah. You might have heard it, Jeremiah 29:11, reading, for surely I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord, plans for your welfare and not for harm, to give you a future with hope. Throughout the book, throughout Jeremiah, God is reminding the prophet through his highs and lows that God is with him, even there when the people are grieving and feeling like they're in exile. God knew his name. He had hope for what his story would be. This is the picture of a loving God that knows our names too, a God that cares deeply, a God that has called and appointed Jeremiah. In the Hebrew, the verb here means to put into office. God has a purpose and a task for this prophet. George Martin comments that God's call for Jeremiah was relentless and inevitable. God's grace, you see, was already extended to Jeremiah in his life before Jeremiah even knew it. Likewise, God knows our names and stories. This is a testimony of a God that loves us. We too were formed with intention. We too were created in love. We too are being put into office to do something for God. The writer of Psalm 139 has similar words. For it was you who formed my inward parts. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. All of God's children were made in this manner, and he has not forgotten about you. Even if you've had challenges, even if you disagree, even if you feel so far off, God is still pursuing you. Instead, God is inviting us to return to relationship with him, not when we are perfect, not when we have it all together, but because God knows and rejoices over us, giving us hope and a future. Baptism today is a beautiful testimony of this change, an outward sign of an inward transformation and a change of life as we come to accept that God loves and cares for us, that there has been prevenient grace working before we can acknowledge it. Baptism is really actually a naming, too. Remember when Jesus is baptized and the dove descends? God says, "This is my son, whom I love. This is my beloved." Today, our baptismal candidates received a new name, beloved. One that was already there before they were born, but one now that they come to accept. An introduction into the faith family, immersed in the waters or dunked to testify to new life. It is a public and celebrated profession of faith by our community, and it's a commissioning to reject evil, to repent of sin, and to acknowledge the Holy Spirit, and to seek to be a person of mercy, justice, and peace with God's strength alone. You too are being called to recognize your appointment. James Calvin Davis reminds each Christian that the prophetic call is in fulfilling the task of our social, political, and familial roles, testifying for God's intention of the world and the ways we live our lives. You are called. You are consecrated. You are appointed. You have been thought of. Thought of because you are loved by a God that knows who you are and who you can become. But like many, Jeremiah was unsure. The prophet was worried and scared. He tries to come up with excuses, right? I don't really know how to speak real good. I'm only just a little boy. I don't have experience, God. I don't know how to. I'm scared people won't listen to me. I'm afraid I won't be accepted. I'm too young to make a difference. But 1 Timothy says to that, "Let no one despise your youth, but set the believer as an example in speech, conduct, in love, in faith, and in purity." We say other things like, "I'm worried that people won't remember me. I know that they'll count me out. They never listen to me. They don't care. What difference can I make? I'm so small. I don't have a lot of good skills. I didn't finish school. I don't have the money." So many excuses and messages that really we hear all the time. They're almost impossible to escape on a daily basis. If you're not hearing it from the world or from your work or from the news, you're hearing it from yourself, saying things as such. These messages choke out the promise of spiritual formation. That they choke out this appointment to be ministers of good news. And so finally, the every man's prophet voiced it for us. He says what we're all thinking. "Lord, I truly don't know how to speak, for I am only a boy." Excuses to love others come so easily. They expose our faith or our fears and our anxieties. We let them disqualify us even when the calling to love is so clear. Scholars get kind of weird about this passage. They argue back and forth. They say, actually, Jeremiah's not talking about his real age. Instead, he's emphasizing his inexperience and unsuitability for this kind of work. Well, I think he was young. But whatever your interpretation is, Jeremiah did not feel like he could live up to this calling. He had concerns, valid ones, ones that you might be feeling too. The Apostle Paul later writes to the Ephesians. He writes, I beg you to walk in a manner worthy of your calling in which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, making every effort to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body, one Spirit, just as we are called to one hope, your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all. We keep letting excuses rule our ministry and our calling. Even if you are young, old, slow, tired, struggling, God says, do not say, I am just a blank. For you shall go to whom I send you, and you will speak what I command. Do not be afraid, for I am with you to deliver you, says the Lord. Do not be afraid is the most common promise in Scripture of salvation and promise in the Old Testament. It's carried on by Jesus, who says to his disciples in the Synoptic Gospels, which is a fancy way of saying Mark, Matthew, and Luke, God has been for God's people. He's for us. He's with us. He will continue to do so with Jeremiah, even when his calling is hard and grueling, even when he eats the scroll and he's locked up and he sees Babylon come and destroy Jerusalem and exile. Even if we have fears and concerns that no one will care or that we won't do a good job, James Howe writes, the call to ministry is enveloped in love. The tenderness and power in this text is that God notices young Jeremiah's fear, and God reissues the Bible's most frequent commandment, fear not. This message still stands. God is still with us. Why did we spend all of Advent hoping for the child born Emmanuel just to think he's abandoned us 3 weeks later? This message is for us. God is with us. God is inviting us to stand up and speak out against injustice. Fear not. God goes on to touch Jeremiah's mouth and says, I have put my words in your mouth. See, today I have appointed you over nations and over kingdoms to pluck and to pull down, to destroy and to overthrow, to build and to plant. Jeremiah was entrusted to do that during a turbulent historical period of geopolitics, of rampant violence, of fear, of concern, a people that didn't want to listen to God anymore, that didn't want to be made free, people that craved power. Yet God sends measly, old or young Jeremiah. Jeremiah without a big reputation, a big building, a bankroll, or a staff. And I think so often that we just think that prophets are something of the past, or we don't understand the word prophet because people have manipulated the term. People have said, just buy this water, it will heal you. I'm a prophet. Just give me a little bit of your social security. I'm doing ministry. I'm just a prophet with a plane. Just give me a little more money. I wrote another book that sounds the same, that was actually written by a ghostwriter and is extremely boring. Just give me a little money. I'm a prophet. Or people have been misquoting, taking money, abusing, not treating others well, going into countries to give them things from the Dollar Tree instead of giving them food or water or access to resources. I mean, who really wants a prophet these days? We have a lot of people, parading around being prophets, misquoting Scripture, quoting the order of love that isn't found in our Bible. Others are lying to us. They want us in our faith to become cold and hard and calculated instead of warm with God's love, mercy, and service. So-called prophets that sit amongst billionaires and dictators and call names, prophets that use Christianity to harm people instead of heal. Should we even use the term prophet? Yeah, I think we should. It's our term in the Scripture. I am convinced that we are in need of prophets, people that will be willing to speak about God's expansive love and inclusion, about a God of mercy as shown to us through Jesus Christ, a God of hope, a God that asks us to work together for the common good of our neighbors by sharing food, clothing, and welcoming people. Friends, we too can be prophets that speak about the things of God and the truth of God's love. Fear not. We know God's message of love and service, of putting faith into action when it's hard and unpopular. Ecclesiastes has a nearly identical language to this last verse. It says, "For everything there is a season, a time to plant, a time to pluck up what is planted, a time to kill, and a time to heal, a time to break down, and a time to build up, a time to keep silent, and a time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate, a time for war and a time of peace." That passage isn't relegated to just funerals or when the fall leaves come. It's a reminder here in Ecclesiastes and here in our reading today. So let us pluck up hatred, putting on the full armor of God, putting on the sandals of peace, and rejecting violence and force. Let us pull down our own self-righteousness and judgment so that there would be a time of loving our neighbor. Let us destroy the work of evil in our community that looks like poverty, separating families, abuse, disunity, racism. Let us overthrow our fear of failures, our feeling of being too small to make a difference or too insignificant. Let us embrace God's work to build up this community through love, where people are transformed by God's grace and are dunked in the baptismal waters to the family of faith in new life. Let us plant, plant, plant for tomorrow, knowing that we will not see the fruit or the trees, knowing that those that gave to the foundation to support camp ministry are now a part of the reason why two people's lives have been transformed. That's a big deal. Planted a seed, something that someone thought wasn't important, now reaping fruit 60 years or however many years later. I can't do math up here as well. Let us plant. Plant for tomorrow, knowing that there is fruit, that God has called us to be oaks of righteousness, and each must come from the planting of a silly small seed. So speak. Don't go give in to name calling. Don't give in to the chaos. Relax. You don't have to post it on Facebook. You could just scroll past. Don't yell and scream at people. Hear them out. We are to learn from our differences. We are to speak truth of God's love, grace, mercy, and hope, that God is with us, that Jesus loves us and encourages us to put faith into action. It doesn't matter if your voice shakes. You can still prophesy about a God that knows and chooses to love you, a God that asks you to love all of creation, especially when it challenges your social status or your preconceived notions. So let us practice speaking about the love of God. That too makes us prophets. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen.